Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, hey.
Ellie my head, so. Me had a come back again with the new style. Le, 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 le.
Hey, hey, hey. Uh-huh.
See, yawo me, yawo me, yawo me. Every time I see you, I de fall in love. See, yawo me, yawo me, yawo me. Every time I see you, I de fall in love. He do me, do me, do me, do me. Eh, eh. Like say I don't de go low. He do me. Early man, they give you the reason. Your love, they give me the season. This time, na so so wahala. Baby girl, they give me the fever. Baby girl, can I have your number so that we can see the club together? Make her feel you. Make you feel me. Wine, wine, dance, dance. At the club, right, right. Baby girl, can I have your number? Come on, show, gotcha. For me, yawo me, yawo me, yawo me.
Divine, all blessed, you are tuned in now live to the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor. All is truly and indeed a blessing.
Azunke parin le bahe, eh, azunke, azunke parin le bahe. Parin le ba me la jan ka se wosho, azunke, wale le parin vodou le ba.
Azunke parin le bahe,
eh, eh, azunke.
Azunke parin le bahe, parin le ba.
Parin vodou le ba,
azunke parin le ba,
eh, azunke,
azunke parin le ba, parin le ba, la janka se wosho, azunke parin le ba,
eh, parin le ba, la janka se wosho, azunke, bale le parin vodou le ba,
azunke parin le ba,
eh, azunke m'aprele.
Divine All Blessed, you are now listening live and always in archive at your leisure and convenience to the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Hudu Obeya Bokor, sharing with you on all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, universal, evolutionary, revolutionary, healing, and holistic from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective. Understanding that all is indeed a blessing if you can just see beyond the veils. For it is all just an illusion and a test, one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my ever-living reality. And it is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, my teaching, my walk, and my work along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. It is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth. And it is my personal place of power and understanding, that place from where I begin and that place from where I crystallize and realize all endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny, and I alone create and co-create my divine, all-blessed reality. And so it is. Ashe. Today is Monday, March 30th, I believe, 2014. And I'm sorry, March 31st, 2014. And I am emanating and vibrating with you and for you live, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum, universally, from this working temple of the House of the Divine Prince, Hoodoo Central, here in the legendary, historic, beautiful, and enchanted city of New Orleans, Louisiana, the land of my ancestors and those who came before me along this spiritualist Hoodoo Obeah life path and journey, passing down the great Obeah stick, along with the knowledge of the healing, life-giving herbs, roots, plants, rituals, and minerals. I'm truly honored and grateful for your continued support and listenership here at High Noon, and always in archive when I'm not available and you're not available, but we can always come together and meet here at the crossroads on Hoodoo, New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes on Blog Talk Radio. Today I want to sort of go back to the basics. For some of you, this will be a very complex subject matter, but for others, this will be the basics. And let me sort of explain my position and my reasoning for doing this show today. We all want blessings. We all want magic. We all want prosperity, a fruitful and prosperous love in relationships. But we often want to do the work necessary to get us from point A to point B. And many of us are looking for the shortcut. You know, the shortcut is one of my pet peeves. I've done probably 100 shows on the shortcut and probably 1,000 references to the spiritual religious shortcut, if you will. And we're all human. I'm not standing in a position of judgment about our vices, if you will, about our materialism, about our vanity, about our very superficial wants and desires, which we all have at some level. But if there were to be a shortcut, if there were to be a shortcut, if there were a better way to say it, if there were a starting place, I would strongly suggest you start, simply put, with the ancestors. Do all the research, all the studying, all the homework, all the understanding you can about ancestors. Many want to jump right into Ifa, jump right into voodooing systems, want to jump right into deities and Orishas and Lawa and very complex systems. Palo, very complex system. Takes years of study, tutorship, exercise to gain expertise, to gain any fluidity in those systems. So start with your ancestors. This is what one of my godmothers, Mama Yeye, told me. Child, you're getting by on your ancestors. Your ancestors. Your ancestors fill in the gap where we are limited in knowledge, limited in understanding, limited in awareness. You don't necessarily have to know who they are individually, know their names individually. So that would be a great place to start and to begin. Begin to ask those questions within your family, within your realm of access to information, if you will. But then put that veneration, and veneration is a good word, into practice. Veneration of the dead or ancestor reference is based on the belief that the dead have a continued existence and may possess the ability to influence the fortunes, if you will, of the living. Some groups venerate their direct, familiar ancestors. Some faith communities, in particular the Catholic Church, venerate saints as intercessors with God. In some Eastern, African, and Afro-diasporic cultures, the goal of ancestor veneration is to ensure the ancestors' continued well-being and positive disposition toward the living. and sometimes to ask for special favors or assistance. But in my house, in my past, and I would dare say a great degree, New Orleans voodoo specific, veneration of ancestors is a must. It is the very foundation for which we stand upon, not only for the passing down of implements, passing down of knowledge, passing down of systems, passing down of information, passing down of the codec, if you will, but also for grounding us firmly into reality in everyday journey, everyday missions, everyday practice, for which our ancestors are always deeply a part of, whether we acknowledge them or not. We often find that we can get a better result when we acknowledge them. But there are records of those who have had, they believe to have been ancestral intervention, even without the knowledge of veneration, even without actively putting that into place. And so I agree with Mama Ye Ye. Indeed, beloved, you are getting by on the backs of your ancestors, not on your own wisdom, not on your own knowledge, not on your own craftiness, not on your own skill, not on your own good reputation, but on that of your ancestors. And there where we might have a struggle, whether it be physical, mental, emotional, financial, I mean, any aspect of our lives, the first place I suggest my clients and all my clients and godchildren go first is to your ancestors. Even those who have sought me and continue to seek me for ritual spell work know that one of the first responsive documents that I send you is about connecting with your ancestors. It's critical in voodoo to empowering the individual, not only the practitioner, but the individual. Every person, every birthed being has ancestors. The social or non-religious function of ancestor veneration is to cultivate kinship values, family loyalty, and continuity of the family lineage. Many of you in this modern day of knowledge and information and internet and awareness don't know your fathers, don't know your mothers, not to mention your grandmothers, grandfathers, all four of them, their parents, your great-grandparents, and so on. First cousins, second cousins, nieces, nephews, we have somewhere devalued that importance in our culture or have given it a very superficial importance. And I'm going to make an attempt to readdress that specifically again at some point later in the show. Now, while far from universal, ancestral veneration and worship is not universal. Indeed, it's not in the West, in the Western Hemisphere, in the Western culture, Europe to some degree, America to some degree. But it exists vibrantly in the East, in the African diaspora, in the other ethnic quarters of our planet. And many cultures have found ways to reinforce and to maintain the practice of ancestral veneration, some even at a government level. Ancestor reverence is not the same as the worship of a deity or deities. And I think that's very important to clarify, particularly for monotheistic religious folk who are trying to, if you will, understand what we do from the outside, looking in. But even for those of us who are along the journey, along the path of adhering to these traditions and these paths and practices, and those who are actively claiming a role in these traditions, ancestor reverence, and this should be common knowledge, it's not the same as worship of a deity. or deities. And in some Afro-diasporic cultures, ancestors are seen as being able to intercede on behalf of the living, often as messengers between humans and the gods. As spirits who were once humans themselves, they're seen as being better able to empathize human need, to understand from personal earth experience, personal earth humanity, if you will, what our needs, our desires, and our distinct challenges are, and particularly those ancestors from within your own family line. So we believe them to understand human need more so than Christians, Islam, Judaism, many of the other traditions accredit that all awareness, if you will, to a divine creator. And in other cultures, the purpose of ancestor veneration is not to ask for favors, but to do one's spiritual, familial duty to yourself, to your family, to your culture, to your community. Some cultures believe that their ancestors actually need to be provided for by the descendants, and their practices include offerings of food and other provisions. Others do not believe ancestors are even aware of what their descendants do for them, but that the expression of filial, F-I-L-I-A-L, filial, I might have to re-Google that word and get a better pronunciation, is what is important, or familiar, sacral, religious, spiritual connection. Most cultures who practice ancestor veneration do not call it ancestor worship. In English, the word worship usually refers to the reverent love and devotion accorded a deity or a divine being. However, in other cultures, this act of worship does not confer any belief that the departed ancestors have become some kind of god. Rather, the act is a way of respect, honor in their afterlife, as well as to seek their guidance for the living descendants. In this regard, many cultures and religions have similar practices. Some may visit the graves of their parents and other ancestors, leave flowers, pray for them and honor in order to honor and remember them, while also asking their ancestors to continue to look after them and their families. However, this would not be considered as worshiping them. It is in that sense that the translation ancestor veneration may convey a more accurate sense of what practitioners, such as the Chinese and other Buddhist-influenced and Confucian-influenced societies, as well as the African and European cultures, see themselves as doing. Africans, in particular, find ancestor veneration to be critical to the foundation of building family and building community and community unity. Ancestor veneration is very prevalent throughout Africa and serves as the basis of many religions. It is also augmented by a belief in a supreme being, but prayers and or sacrifices are usually offered to the ascendants, who may ascend to become a kind of minor deity unto themselves. Ancestor veneration remains among many Africans, sometimes practiced alongside the later adopted religions of Christianity and Islam, as in Nigeria among the Igbo people and among the Mende peoples of Bamam. We're going to talk a little bit more today about ancestor veneration, the ways in which we can venerate our ancestors, show honor, and access our ancestors, the way in which we communicate with our ancestors. We do, in many of these paths, have a form of divination reserved specifically for ancestors and how we communicate with them. And I'm going to make some attempt to open a conversation on that with you here today on Hoodoo, New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes here with the Divine Prince. All is indeed a blessing. Ashe.
Une, Sione,
mwete
la vi nou ye. Papa mwote ti plal, mwote la mwote piwa, mwote ti kal pa bouche. Mwote la vi nou ye, mwote la
Thank you.
I am always humbled and honored by each and every one who supports and listens to Voodoo New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes here on Blog Talk Radio. Today we are talking a little bit, I guess a little bit more about ancestors, the importance of ancestor reverence and veneration, and particularly for anyone who is walking the path of indigenous practice, tradition, and religion. No matter where you are in your evolution spiritually, one of the simplest to access least understood practices is ancestor veneration. And indeed, I reinforce the understanding with both client and student for its importance in achieving any goal, any personal goal, any community goal. Many of us are dealing with violence in our communities. I think the bringing back of the importance of ancestral reverence, guidance, honor, veneration will help to stave off a great deal of that. Now, ancestor veneration is not new. It's not some New Age thing. It's not some hokey mix of traditions, if you will. And in recorded history, it goes back as early as ancient Egypt, and I'm sure even earlier. I'm sure man made a simple step from understanding a creator or a creator god or goddess and its forces, and then its connection to ancestors. The ancient Egyptian pyramids are considered to be the most famous historical monument devoted to the dead. Egyptian religion believed that the survival of the soul and the connection to the soul was probably more important than a great deal of life itself. And so they invested a great deal of time, resources, energy, faith, and belief in maintaining their connections to the afterlife. Now, ancestor veneration takes on many forms based on where you find it. From East to West Africa, North to South Africa, from Asia to Australia to South America. And it has been greatly influenced by modern living, everyday living, the everyday activities of being human, of humanity. And I think that's a natural part of the process. I posted earlier today a post on Facebook about altars and shrines, and sort of a very simple and brief description of what they are and why we use them and how we're connected to them. And that would probably be the next step up from ancestral veneration, because it's a very short walk from understanding and processing that science and then carrying that into normal activity, ritual, altar work, we like to refer it to here in New Orleans. So we want to talk about the importance of ancestral veneration, particularly in Pan-African traditions. And we do invite your participation at area code 347-215-8967. And when you feel free with your question, comment, or request, do press the number 1. And be a little patient, and I will address you momentarily. Ancestor cults and ancestor worship are big in terms of anthropological image of what Africa is, but particularly sub-Saharan Africa. Few would disagree with Fortes that comparatively viewed, African ancestor worship has a remarkably uniform structural framework. Now, to the person on the outside looking in, I think that may not necessarily bode well to clarity, because we begin to sort of mix things together that have a very limited connection. Egun and Egunguns are not the same thing. Egunguns typically refer to the dead in Yoruba, Ifa Yoruba, any dead in Ifa Yoruba. And as I will attempt to address here today, all dead do not rise to the rank of ancestor veneration. We don't venerate ancestors who were negative, who were criminal, who may have had afflictions that affected their morality, their values, their conduct. We tend to venerate those who were wise, those who gave, those who shared, those who raised, those who helped to elevate not only themselves, their family, their household, but the community at large. So on some level, I can understand those black people, those Africans who are aware of what libation is. When they see, for instance, in the movies, you know, us pouring libation before we drink a 40, us pouring libation to people who have not been fruitful, if you will, in the community. So a key point to understanding ancestor veneration is that we don't just, we show honor, and there is a place for all dead, and we call them Egun in Yoruba, in Ifa. Each ethnic group, each path, each religion is going to have a different name. And that, again, lends to some of the fusion and does not aid clarity, because you've really got to take the time to delve into this material on many different levels to get a clear understanding. I can't do it in a Facebook post. I can't do it in one or two Blog Talk radio shows. And that is the way of the world that we live in now. But that is not helpful in your really getting a clear understanding about animism, about indigenous spirituality and religion, wherever it can be found on the globe, and particularly how we in the Pan-African diaspora view the dead, view ancestors, view ancestor veneration, and how we apply that, if you will, in actual practice. The, again, general pattern may be quickly summarized. Ancestors are vested with mystical powers and authority. And in our modern understanding, we give that same gift, those same qualities to deities. But ancestors and deities are not the same thing. Deities have not had a human incarnation. And off the top of my head, the only deity here in the West that we view, and some of you may have some understanding of his connection to ancestors, is Xangô. Xangô is a ascended ancestor, not just the dead, not just an Egun, but an ascended ancestor who is sort of treated and honored as a deity, as an Orisha now. In other paths, there's a clear separation between Xangô and the connection to Xangô, the connection to Yemaya, the connection to a few other deities. That Oya is another example that we closely and specifically relate to the ancestors or the ancestral realm. So as you get into the understanding, it is a very complex system and a very ethnic path-based, even location-based to some degree, system. But on the surface, it can be summarized as being relatively uniform in some of the most basic tenets of ancestor veneration once you gain that understanding. The ancestors retain a functional role in the world of the living, specifically in the lives of their living kinsmen, those who they share DNA contact with, the Jacob's Ladder connection, if you will. And indeed, African kin groups are often described as communities of both the living and the dead. We do not see the dead in a Western sort of way as being gone and irrelevant and not having any influence and not being influenced or being able to be influenced from the living. The relationship of the ancestors to their living family and relatives has been described as ambivalent, as both punitive and benevolent, and sometimes even as capricious. In general, ancestral benevolence is assured through procreation and sacrifice. Neglect is believed to bring about punishment. And punishment can take many individual, personal, as well as collective and communal or community level symptoms, if you will. And again, as I mentioned earlier, I think a great deal of the crime that we're seeing in the inner city where we are can be directly related to our absence of ancestral veneration and our commitment to the practice. So again, my clients, whether they're with me or not, whether they practice my religion or not, and definitely those who come into my house, and the house of my godparents and my elders and my counterparts, I'm sure Voodoo Queen Kalinda feels the exact same way. We almost universally start everyone at the level of ancestors. While you're trying to get to Orisha and Ebo and Obia and other Bokuria, we try and focus you in on ancestors because it's almost like trying to stay healthy without maintaining proper elements, proper minerals, proper vitamins, proper balance, if you will. So this is our foundation, our platform of foundation. Ancestors are intimately involved with the welfare of their king Wu. So there's no better spirit to attend to our more personal and individual and communal needs than our ancestors. Ortiz in 1965 also extended our theoretical understanding of African ancestor worship more recently by further clarifying some of its structural features. Amplifying on Gluckman's 1937 book and account, distinction between the ancestor cults and the cults of the dead. They are two very different things. Just as Egungun and Galede are two very distinct things. Galede is specifically the worship of our mothers, our great mothers, and sort of the magic, if you will, of our great mothers. Not just in childbirth and child rearing and nurturing, but all the many other wonderful powers that we attribute to great women. I think in a more Western version, we've sort of masked that behind what we used to call mother wit here in the South, mother wit. But there was always a unspoken connotation to mother wit, having also magical, spiritual, healing properties, the healing in grandma's hands, if you will. There's a very popular R&B song about grandma's hands, which alludes to this very pan-African concept, indigenous concept. I found the same understanding, the same concept, if you will, on this side of the Atlantic, in the Americas and among the indigenous people of the Americas. So Fortes brings out the importance of the structural matrix of African ancestral worship, noting that the lack of elaboration and indeed interest among the Africans in the cosmology of the African world in which the ancestors reside, but putting more of that emphasis clearly on how the dead live, but on the manner in which they affect the living. Different ancestors are recognized as relevant to different structural contexts. So in Ifa, in Lakomi, in Santeria, there are very specific ancestors who are often universally called by name in prayer, in libation pouring, in other ceremonial processes that we honor and venerate because of their connection to the religious path. So we would not necessarily invoke a musician while we're focusing on art, sculpting, if you will. We wouldn't invoke a football player when we're focusing on basketball, you know, to just use a silly sort of example. But it's a very specialized form of veneration when we talk about ancestors. And again, and I must reiterate, very different from how we appease. Appeasement may be a better word. Appeasement to put at rest, to keep at rest, to smooth over, to calm the dead, and particularly those who died in unnatural, unhealthy, negative circumstances. So we're not trying to keep that energy alive, call upon that energy, draw that energy up, as we would with the wisdom of an ancestor. You know, my grandmother, Murtis, God bless her, I will always call her name for her ingenuity, for her creativity, for her ability to sew, for her ability to create, for her ability to perform. And those are many of the skills that I need in my individual life as well as in my community life with Congo Square, with Ashe, with vending, to function and to survive. And those are skills that we sort of pass on, both at the personal level but also at the communal level. We would not do the same with the quote-unquote dead. And even the recent dead, I've heard a sort of mistake spoken in recent years where we are now referring to people who just died last week as ancestors. And that is not correct. There is a timing. There is a process. And it's not universal to every individual, if you will, in terms of their ability to become an ancestor and to interact with us on that level. Again, not all individuals die having an evolved spirit that can even be used in that way. So it may be decades, it may be centuries before that spirit may come back, and only after having reincarnated again as male, as female, many times to gain ashe, to gain wisdom, to gain knowledge, to gain specification, if you will, in a particular science, a particular life understanding, a particular life lesson might be a better way of wording it. So we have to be careful about feeling free to conjure up anything. You know, we do have to do our homework. We do have to do our research. We do have to have some basic foundational understanding in moving forward in these paths. And there's a desire today in modern society to make all this information easily accessible. The internet sort of reinforces that. But we've developed sort of an attitude of mix and match. You know, I can sort of just do, you know, go with my spirit and do how I feel, and we have no connection to foundation. And then we wonder why things are so inconsistent, manifestation inconsistent. And I don't have to be in your house to see the inconsistency. You know, we express and project that inconsistency in our behavior, in our character, in our emotion. Some of us are way too emotional. Every up and down you have is on Facebook, it's on Twitter, and after having read your very deep spiritual, you know, thesis the day before, and then the next day, you know, you're completely at the earth animal level in your flesh. It's a contradiction to the knowledge that you shared previously. And again, the internet, the computer is a machine that sort of dispenses information. And many of you have taken on that characteristic. You're dispensing all this information, left, right, up and down, north, south, east, west, good, bad, true, fictional. You can't even separate the two. And then you're expecting a certain consistency of path, a certain consistency of walk. And I can say this from personal experience. and some of you listening have known me 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. You remember when my life was inconsistent. You remember when my life was in constant flux. You remember when, you know, good times only last 90 days, 6 months, a year, and it was always back to some issue. We as a people, as a culture, have even adopted sort of a phraseology of there's always something. When something happens, we sort of smack our teeth and snap our fingers, and we say, oh, there's always something. And there's an expectation of the negative. There's an expectation of the downfall. But that does not mix with following any faith path, any religious science, being spiritual. But those two things don't mix. Those two things are not logical in the same space. There is a certain comfort, a certain security, a certain stability that I have gained from voodoo and from ancestral worship and from acknowledging and showing honor and working for the spirit in turn work for me. But you cannot get that on a surface level, and you are not going to get that on a surface level any more than we would expect that from our children. Sort of surface deal with your children, not get deep with your children, not teach them anything, not get specific with them about your life experience so that they can learn from that. But then we push them out at 14, 15, 16, 18, 21, 25, 35 and expect them to be whole. And then the girlfriend, the boyfriend, the wife, the husband, the community, the coworkers, the neighbors, the counselors, the psychiatrists, the psychics are left to deal with the cleanup of that. So often, whatever the request, I carry you first back to ancestors. We regain and maintain wholeness with our ancestors. The African influence is clearly not on how the dead live, but on the manner in which they affect the living. Different ancestors are recognized as relevant to different structural contexts. For example, in groups of different genealogical levels, different sexes. Again, as we use the Galede and the Egungun as an example, the Galede is specific to the great mothers. Don't be confused by the symbolism. Some of you see the vibrant colors and the symbolism and the masks and the pictures, and you start asking all these questions. And I implore you, use your internet. We're all here because we're on the internet. Use your Google. Use your Bing. Ask some of these questions to the internet stratosphere, and do some homework first. And get some understanding, and then you can ask a question that makes sense, that can better clarify understanding for you. I'm going to take just a quick break. It is 1 o'clock. I'm going to try and do just a little bit more of the show. I do have an appointment coming shortly, but they don't seem to be here. So I'm going to stay with you as long as I can, and we're going to talk more about ancestral veneration here with Divine Prince on Hoodoo New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes on Blog Talk Radio. All is indeed a blessing. Ashe. Thank you.
Are you there? Hello? Are you there?
Well, the realms was met upon by consistent deep meditation and the recognition of the divine within oneself.
Tell you say we not go down there. Some loyal soldier who are carry out the royal order. Road them position and don't cross the border. An instrument of the father. Me sing again. Me long to buck up on some loyal soldier who are carry out the royal order. Road them position and don't cross the border. An instrument of the father. Me sing say vampire just up in a sheep outfit. I come with a smile, them a big hypocrite. I move asky but them not authentic. Me realize that that's a them only one selfish. Your smallest demise of it, them big wish. But time may grieve when we see we have to split. But the mission must be accomplished. Watch this now. Me long to book up on some loyal soldier who will carry out the royal order. Road them position and don't cross the border. An instrument of the father. Me sing again. Me long to book up on some loyal soldier who will carry out the royal order. Road them position and don't cross the border. An instrument of the golden age. Who knew a better man them go and set the stage. Ego and greed of the mind engaged in a pretty meditation that all love in a cage. Art of war, the dynamics of peace. Genuine behavior must be on the increase. More time you must practice where you preach. Dignity, integrity must not just defeat. Me long to book up on some loyal soldier who will carry out the royal order. Go them position and don't cross the border. An instrument of the some loyal soldier who will carry out the royal order. Go them position and don't cross the border. An instrument of the father. Well, a loyalty we have to use and free Africa. Continent freedom, the people will be happier. More love, more life to the loyalty carrier. Pull up, we have to pull up all the barrier, me say. They would have to be firm, but something still a hold them. Part of the liberty we should have uphold them. Tested and won and them still never know. An instrument, can't tell me say a seven when you know say a 11. Can't push me in a hell and then pretend say that a heaven. More than gold and silver is a upright person. And your conscience free, then you're not gonna be eating well. Come make we put everything in a context. This loyalty is something where we expect. But that aspect we now go accept. From your practice then you will be perfect. Me long to book up on some loyal soldier who will carry out the royal order. Road them position and don't cross the border. An instrument of the father. Me sing again. Me long to buck up on some loyal soldier who will carry out the royal order. Road them position and don't cross the border. An instrument me sing. Vampire dress up in a sheep outfit. Cover with smile but them a big hypocrite. I'm over happy but them not authentic. Me realize the whole of them are opportunists.